Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
All right, Genesis chapter 7. We're going through Genesis. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in the generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take of thee by sevens, the male and his female, and the beast that thou art not clean are two, the male and his female, and the fowls are also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto, look at that next word, all that the Lord commanded him. That's an important word. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the face was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the water of the floods, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, of the fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And there went in unto Noah into the ark two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Father, please help us tonight. We're asking that you be pleased. We're asking that your Son be glorified. We're asking the Spirit to show up. And I pray that you'll just meet in a very special way. We love you, God. Thank you so much. Guide and direct our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this evening and you do not know for sure that you're saved, I want you to know this, that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He arose for you. And he wants to be your Savior. And so I hope that you'll let him do that today. The ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. It is a picture of Jesus. He is the only way to save us from eternal destruction. There is one door, and he's the door. He is the way, the truth, the life. There are some things that and this is going to be a simple sermon. There's just five things that I want to point out about chapter 7 that I find interesting. Number one, I like this first part. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. I'm going to explain this to you. I think you'll get it. Matthew, come up on the platform. This is Matthew. Hi, Matthew. How you doing, man? Matthew wants to be a missionary. Isn't that great? Matthew, go sit on the pew. Did you get it? Did you get it? God said, come on the ark. You know why I told Matthew to come on the platform? Because I was standing here. You know why I told Matthew to go sit on the pew? Because I wasn't sitting there. I can't say come to the platform if I'm not on the platform. And I won't say go to the seat if I'm sitting on the seat. And God said, Noah, come in the ark. You know why he said come in the ark? Because God was in there. And let me tell you something. If God says come in, then just go on in. When Christ said come into the ark, that was God saying, hey, don't get on the ark. I'm not going to send you on the ark. I'm not going to put you on the ark for 40 days and 40 nights while it rains, and then over a year while you're in this flood. I'm going to let you come into the ark with me. Christ is already there. And I want you to remember that you don't and I don't have to go through life with God helping us and God being near us. No, he says, come to us. And we go where Christ is at. Christ was already on the ark. God was already in the ark. And then he said this. He said, he said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. So God says, come into the ark. The reason that God says, come into the ark is because God's in the ark. Noah and his family comes into the ark. It's a specific group of people that get to get on the ark. Now, anybody could have gotten on. And everybody that would have chosen to get on the ark would have automatically been part of the family. And listen, Jesus says to everyone in this room, come unto me. I was thinking about that in my office this afternoon, this evening. And I was thinking about this verse, getting excited about, ooh, that's good. God said, come unto the ark, come into the ark. And then I remember that verse, come unto me, all ye that are laden and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know what Jesus is saying? The place to find rest is where Jesus is at. Because he says, come. You know why he says, come unto me? Because he is where rest is at. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so, friend, I want us to know that we need to come unto Jesus. And if you're here this evening and you're not saved, you need to get on the ark. This ark named Jesus. You need to accept him and let him adopt you and let him be your father. Let him be your God. And you be a part of his family and get on the ark. And God says, Noah, get on the ark. You and your family, get on the ark. Friend, if you're here this evening and you're not saved, you need to get saved and become part of the family so that you can get on the ark. This ark named Jesus who will save you from your sins. Number three, I see here again that God finds gender pretty important. You know, you can't go through Genesis very far, like chapter 1, chapter 2, without realizing that gender's important. Not only is it important when Adam and God made Adam and Eve, he made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. Sorry, Steve, he didn't make you. He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Gender's important. What if God decided to put two females on the ark? And two males on the ark, and that's it. Two male horses and two male dogs, and then two female cats and two female monkeys. Well, we wouldn't have any more horses, monkeys, dogs, or cats. Gender's important. God made them male and female. Men, stop being effeminate. And women, stop being masculine. Well, I'm a woman. I can do whatever a man can do. Why would you want to? I'm thankful that I'm a man and I can't do everything a woman can do. I do not want to have a baby inside of me for 9 months. And then I do not want to have it come out. I can't do that. God made me a male. Gender's important. And I want to warn you parents, and I think you know this, I want to warn our teenagers that society is trying to make everything gender neutral. I mean, I am so frustrated because I see and sense what they're doing by saying, well, a woman can do anything a man can do. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Am I saying women are not as superior to men? Absolutely not. I'm saying they're different. John Wayne rode a horse, right? And a horse does a different job than, say, cattle. John Wayne didn't ride cattle. They had different purposes. Now, I'll let you decide which one's the cattle and which one's the horse. It doesn't really matter. The point is this, they do different things. And females are made in the image that God created them. And they're made in the image of God. They're made a trinity. They're made eternal. But they serve a specific purpose. And men are made in the image of God. We're made a trinity. We're made eternal. And we're made for a specific purpose. And let me tell you something. When families get that out of kilter, you got a family that's messed up. Every time. You got a woman that's leading the house, you got a family that's got a problem. I promise you that. You say, well, women can lead the house. We could lead just as good as men. That's not the point. I don't get to decide these rules. God said, the man is the head of the home. You know, the head and the heart do two different things. Both of them are equally important. You go to the hospital and his heart's beating, but they say he's brain dead. Guess what? He's a goner. If you go to the hospital and his heart's not beating, guess what? He's a goner. Both of them are important. Both of them serve different responsibilities. And I want you to know, folks, I'm not sexist, but listen, I'm sick and tired of women being sexist and blaming men for it. Ooh, this is getting warm in here. I'm going to turn the air conditioner up. It's hot. Y'all, it's only 71 up here. It's going to be 68. Listen. Everything I'm telling you is true. I was watching a cartoon the other day with my family. And I like cartoons. They're about my mentality capacity. And it's a famous cartoon. You know about it. And so there's this race car. That's the leader. And he wins. If you haven't seen it, close your ears. But in the final version of it, there's this female car. And that's cool. I don't have a problem with a woman driver. Or a woman race car driver, for that matter. But the idea is, the whole time in the movie, they were teaching children, a girl can do anything a man can do. And I don't want my girls to think that. I would much rather my girls be a lady than a man. I do not want my daughters to grow up being masculine. I want them to be what God created them to be. And if you are what God created you to be, you're going to be the best of what you can be. I don't expect women to dress like men, and I don't expect men to dress like women. Now, I'll give you, okay, if you're Scottish and you wear a kilt for something special, I'm going to back off there because, you know, they're pretty masculine, I guess. I think Gordon's from Scotland, so he might wear kilts around the house. I don't want to offend him. But you know what? Seriously, I don't expect a man to dress like a woman, and I don't expect a woman to dress like a man. I don't think there's a problem with ladies dressing like ladies and men dressing like men. As a matter of fact, I think it's biblical. You know why God gave us dress? For modesty and distinction. I don't think God let the robe Eve wore look like the robe Adam wore. There was probably certain things that Eve needed to cover up that Adam didn't necessarily need to cover up because God made them different. And ladies and men, it's high time that we stop tiptoeing around the idea that men and women are different. They are. Women are so important to the family. The man's the head of the home, the woman's the heart. And that is so important. My children would not be nearly what they are if it wasn't for Amanda. It's not me. They might get their stubbornness from me and maybe some of this and that from me, but I'm telling you, what they're going to become is because mom has invested a life into them. Mom is important. Mom is really important. I've seen a lot of good people turn out that only had mama. Hey, I'm not here to offend anybody, and I'm not here to give you a checklist of what you should and shouldn't wear. That's not my purpose. There's a Holy Spirit that can teach you that. If you'll get close to Him and you will let Him, He will direct you. You want some advice? You come and get some advice. But if you ask, I'll give you advice. You may not like it. Maybe a Barker rule. Women, stop being like men. Men, stop being like women. I'm so tired of men being so effeminate. It's okay, guys. Get dirty. It's okay to go fishing. All right, let's close our house. Now, listen. Over and over so far in Genesis, you say, man, every time he's talking about Genesis, he's beating this gender thing. Because every time I read Genesis, I'm finding gender problems. God is saying, male, female, male, female, male, female. And I started thinking, if God hadn't put a male and a female in the ark, and even if Noah made it by himself, that would have been the end. Noah would have lived another couple hundred years, and we wouldn't be here. And so it is not okay for society to say, hey, it's okay to dress this way and that way. We're trying to make one neutral thing. That's not true. Bathrooms, there's a man bathroom and there's a female bathroom. You say, well, I don't know which one I am. I tell you what, you give me your blood work, I'll let Lori go figure it out for you. You're going to have XX chromosomes or you're going to have XY chromosomes, and that's going to determine the gender you is. If you can't figure it out. Bruce Jenner's still a man. I don't care what kind of surgery he's had. His chromosomes tell me that. Listen. No, Bob's not offended by that, by the way. Bob's got to go out and smoke now. Teenagers, it's not okay for men to hook up with men and women to hook up with women. It's not okay. I don't care what TV says. I don't care what your teachers say. I do care what your parents say, and if they say wrong, you let me know and I'll correct them. Because we're losing a generation. And this society is in trouble. Thank God Fairmont citizens get that. Tuesday night, go. They're having a vote at the city council meeting. You're welcome to go. They're going to be voting again on this thing that we try to get them to put down this time. If they put it down this time, then it's going to be a special election. And you that live in Fairmont get to have a say. If they vote it, if they decide that they're going to go ahead and destroy it and just cancel it, I think if they vote yes, then we get a vote. If they vote no, then it's done. It's dead. And I hope that God sees it and says, at least Fairmont, there's 10 righteous in Fairmont. There wasn't 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. God finds gender important. I find this in Genesis chapter 7, Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2. And probably the rest of it. Now, just a little explanation and we're almost done here. Two more things. I did not mean to spend that much time. On number three, all I have for the notes on number three, it says God finds gender important. The rest of that was just something I felt like you needed to hear. Hopefully the Holy Spirit did too. Let me explain the same day. Look at number 13. Verse number 13 says, "In the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them in the ark." Okay, if you were to look up, it says God tells Noah to get into the ark, and then 7 days later, the flood comes. But there in verse 13, it says, "And when Noah and the family got into the ark, the self same day, the flood came." Huh. Does the Bible contradict itself? No. Therefore, there has to be an explanation. The explanation that I find would be this. God said, "Noah, I want you to start moving into the ark. I want you to get in the ark. You and your family move into the ark." Noah and his family moves into the ark. Moving into the ark, does anybody realize that it doesn't take a day to move into something? Has anybody moved? I still have stuff that's not in my house, and it's been a year and a half. It takes a while to move in. So Noah moves his family in. And back and forth. Sugar has to get in there and all the flour has to get in there. And during those 7 days that Noah moved into the ark, those 7 days, guess what? I don't know how many animals there are out there. There's a lot at a zoo, but they don't have them all. But Noah had to see two of every kind get on that boat. And I'm sure that took more than a day. That probably took a week. Because some of them all didn't live right there. And it was kind. That means there wasn't like a German Shepherd and a poodle and a Labrador and a Golden Retriever. It was two dogs. And in those two dogs are all the genes of dogs. Too kind. There are two kind of cats. Two kind of bears. And out of those bears come all the other bears. And so when Noah finally, after the seventh day, all the animals were on, Noah and his family gets on for the last time. So that's the explanation of the self-same day. And the final thought is this: God shut the door. Now you've heard that before. God shut the door. You'll see that in verse number 16. "And they went in, male and female of all flesh," God says it again, "as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Now, there's two things I want to say. That's a great verse for eternal security, and that's a great verse for you that are lost to listen to and take heed. When I got saved, God shut me in. Noah couldn't get out because Noah didn't shut the door. My guess is Noah probably cut a hole at the top of the ark, or went all the way down to the bottom and cut a hole in the bottom of the ark. Because if you think about it, the ark door was way up here, and he was on a mountain. If he opened the door, then he would probably have a 20-foot drop. That would hurt. So Noah, in order to get out of the ark, went to the bottom of the ark and took a saw and cut a hole so that he could get out on the bottom of the ark. People were like, "Well, we think the ark's on Mount Ararat stuck in ice." Maybe. That would be cool if we could find it. But most likely, they had to take the wood from the ark and build houses, because there weren't very many trees around. They just had a big flood. And so, God shut the door. Friend, if you've been saved, I want you to know you got on the ark and God sealed you in. You ain't getting out. You're going to make it to heaven. You're going to get there. You're going to go through this flood of life, and God's going to see you to the other side. On the other hand, there were millions of people that were outside of the ark, and when God shut the door, guess what? No amount of that let them in. And listen, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, there'll come a time, if you ignore Him and refuse Him, that He will shut the door. If the Spirit no longer deals with your heart about salvation, you can't get saved. Salvation is not a magic prayer. The Holy Spirit convicts, and you accept. And if God won't deal with your heart anymore, and the door's shut. We know that the door's shut when someone dies without Christ. And so my encouragement to you this evening is, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, there's a good chance the door's not shut yet. But if you refuse Him, there will come a time that the door will be shut. And millions of people perished on the outside. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, please get saved. If you are saved, take encouragement that you are secure in the hand of Jesus. He holds you in the palm of His hand, and no man can pluck you out. Eternal security. That's an important truth.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.